Good morning, everyone. I'm State Representative Brian Ellis from the 11th District in Butler County, and we're here today to present an important economic study that was done on a mighty development in the formation of the Marcellus Shale industry, which is, as many of you know, an emerging economic giant here in Pennsylvania. The study was performed by Penn State University researchers. It shows the current as well as the future contributions from the industry. And what you'll find out whenever you look at the study is there's a dramatic increase just from 2008 to 2010, and we take it beyond that to see where it can really go for Pennsylvania. The numbers are very encouraging. The job numbers are extremely encouraging, and the economic impact numbers are very impressive. Right now, in 2008, there was $2.3 billion worth of economic impact directly from the industry in Pennsylvania. In 2010, that number has the potential to increase to $14.7 billion of economic impact here in Pennsylvania. The amount of state and local tax revenue that's collected right now is about $240 million. By the year 2010, we can see that number at $800 million, with 30% of that going to the local governments. Most importantly, the information that we're presenting today is important to those people that are out there looking for good family-sustaining jobs. The number of jobs that we have right now associated with the drilling industry is 29,000. In a couple years, even just next year, it could be 98,000. 98,000 good jobs here in Pennsylvania. This is what we need in an economic recession. We need somebody to come along, and the Marcellus Shale industry is ready to take charge. If you take a look over here, we have one of the charts, and it's also in the packet, I believe. It has the projected drilling between now and 2020. What's important, though, is in the year 2014. At that point, we will actually be producing more natural gas in Pennsylvania than we use. So we will, for the first time, become an exporter of natural gas, if we can make sure that the industry is headed in the right direction. The study that we have today, and my co-chairman, Tim Solobay, will go over a little bit more of it, but shows how important this industry is to Pennsylvania, not just now, but for the next couple decades. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to the gas and oil co-chair, Tim Solobay.
Thank you, Brian. I guess I get the great distinction of having, in my district in Washington County, one of the largest activity areas in Pennsylvania. We've got more wells right now that have been drilled in Washington County than any other county in Pennsylvania. We have probably one of the best producing wells that they say anywhere in Pennsylvania right now. It's also located there. I'm not sure if that means we got a lot of gas in Pennsylvania in Washington County or what it may be, but also have the only gas processing facility that's right now located in Washington County. As Brian had said, the impact that it's showing not only in Washington County but across the state has been phenomenal. When we talked with and one of the things we've tried to do in the southwestern region is to work and cooperate with the CareerLink centers. As these facilities are getting up and running, there's a lot of employers and employment opportunities, and to have kind of a one-stop shop opportunity for employees as well as possible employers to be able to come to has been a factor that's been something that's been very helpful so far. There's been job expos, there's been business-to-business expos in the Southwest region have had great attendance and great activity and great opportunities for folks to deal with. The impact not only of the industry itself, but those ancillary industries that, things like restaurants and other places like that, the impact that it's shown so far has been phenomenal. The one pie chart to my right here, to your left, shows the evaluation of different employment opportunities and the wide, diverse workforce that's going to be necessary based on things that are there. There's skilled positions, there's general labor positions, professional positions. So transportation, healthcare, all type of things that are going to just expand. You know, we talk about the job opportunities in the coal industry. For every coal mining job, there was 10 or 15 other jobs that fell out from that. It's very similar what we're finding out in the gas industry is that each job, each gas rig job that may be out there or that that's on mounted on a rig, the support services necessary, and then the other fallout positions that come from that are massive. I guess the other issue on the third chart is the economic value, and Brian touched on it briefly. You know, $2.2 billion in 2008 because of what's going on with the Marcellus play here in Pennsylvania, estimated to be over $12 billion by the time you get to 2005. And again, the emphasis about the local taxes, the state taxes that have been paid to the Commonwealth and to local governments because of the work that's being done is phenomenal. Take that and add it to, and I'm sure the professor is going to make mention to it, the state-owned properties and the opportunity that the state has from just from the ability of getting the proceeds from gas on the land that we own in the state, the royalties received from there. That coupled with the sales tax and the other taxes that are out there just kind of show me and show a lot of us in the Gas and Oil Caucus that to continue this growth and continue this opportunity, the last thing we want to do is anything that's going to stymie the industry. And, you know, as the jobs continue on, it's just an opportunity that just we've never seen in Pennsylvania probably since the heyday of the gas and steel industry from many years back. So, and a final point I'd like to make before turning over to the next speaker is that, you know, what we're showing you shows the 2020. And again, going back to some of the comments that Brian had made, this is going to be around for quite a while. The opportunities that are going to show, I think, is for decades to come, and it's going to be an industry that Pennsylvania is going to be able to capitalize on. I'd like to bring forward now Ray Walker from Range Resources. He's the Vice President of Operations for the entire Appalachian region, and for some comments from him.
Thank you, Representatives Ellis and Salabi. It's a real honor and privilege to be here today with both of you representing the Marcellus Shale Committee. I think it's important to point out that we have members of both parties here today. This is not a political issue. It's a Pennsylvania issue, and we're proud to present it that day. The Penn State study that we're introducing today is not a crystal ball, but we believe it gives a realistic and scientifically based look at the future and the things that, you know, that it could hold for Pennsylvania. You've heard it before. This is a once in a generation opportunity. You're looking at a gentleman that lived through the Barnett opportunity all the way back to 1982 when the first well was done with this technology. I've seen firsthand what it's done for the city of Fort Worth and surrounding communities, and I'm super excited to see that happening, or the potential for that to happen in here today. It's a critical time in our business. We're surrounded by a perfect storm of events on Wall Street. There's a recession. Some people may even term it a depression. We're looking at a great opportunity to attract new businesses to Pennsylvania. This industry can grow. We're at a great place to develop it, and we need to attract those new industries to Pennsylvania. Natural gas will play a huge role in our nation's energy future. It's affordable, abundant, it's better for the environment, and we don't need state and federal subsidies to make it work. This is not new technology, it's just new to Pennsylvania. We have a true opportunity to do a lot of good things in the future, roll out new jobs, long-term, permanent, high-paying jobs that will stay in Pennsylvania for 50-plus years, potentially. My real privilege today is introducing our final speaker, Dr. Bob Watson, one of the lead authors of this exciting new report. Dr. Watson is a professor of petroleum and natural gas engineering and environmental systems engineering at Penn State. He's also chairman of the Technical Advisory Board for the Bureau of Oil and Gas Management of the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection. Dr. Watson.
Greetings from Happy Valley. I'd also like to let you all know that Joe will be around for at least another 20 years. And it's my opinion that he'll probably outlive Marcellus shale well drilling. I want to thank everybody for coming out today. It's a privilege for us to have the opportunity to release our study to you folks. As was indicated, this is not a political issue. This is a bipartisan issue in terms of what it can do for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I'm a native Pennsylvanian. I grew up just below Pittsburgh, a little town called Carnegie. When I grew up there, we had 7 steel mills. We now have 0 steel mills. And it was the steel industry that got located in Pittsburgh for a variety of reasons, one of them being the iron ore that's located near State College, another being the coal that's located in the valley surrounding Pittsburgh, and much of the industry that is in Pittsburgh resulted from the abundance of inexpensive natural gas. Well, that's all changed. And today we have a new opportunity in terms of energy. And when I've reflected upon some of the issues that have been discussed in the press by groups representing the environment, certainly these are all questions that need to be answered by industry and by the Commonwealth itself. But the importance of this study says to us that from an economics perspective, this may be the best thing that's happened to Pennsylvania since steel. There will be hundreds, in excess of 100,000 new jobs resulting from this effort on industry. The other thing to keep in mind, and this is where I really have a departure from my previous speakers, I don't believe this is a 10-year project. I don't believe this is a 20-year project. I believe this is a 100-year project. This is a major industry that can relocate in Pennsylvania if the conditions are right. Now, the current administration, and I'm not taking fault with it at all, indicated in a press release that there was no impact of severance taxes on drilling in West Virginia. Our study would indicate that those comments by the governor of West Virginia were wrong. Money that would be invested in West Virginia is moving north into Pennsylvania because of the fact that we have a better tax climate here. From my perspective as somebody who is a college professor and enjoys science, research, and the application of technical things, I encourage you to read this study. It's unbiased, and it points out, I think, the importance of this industry to each and every one of us, particularly those of us that are not enjoying the current recession / depression. Now, growing up, we always said a recession was when your brother-in-law didn't have a job. A depression is when you don't have one. And that's the problem with many of our citizens today. Many of them don't have jobs. Many of them have skills that can lend themselves to this development. There's concern also about water and how we use water. The amount of water that's used by the industry is a drop in the bucket compared to the other industries in the state. But given that, the Pennsylvania DEP, the TAB committee, and industry is working to address the concerns, the rightful concerns of the stakeholders in this business. And that is an issue that needs to be addressed, and it is being addressed. In terms of landowner rights, if you look at these pie charts, you'll notice that probably the one group that profits the most from these activities are the many men and women who own land and mineral rights that this money comes directly to them. By that same token, the largest unleased property group in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is owned by the citizens of Pennsylvania. The Bureau of Forestry, the Pennsylvania Game Commission, these game lands amount to about 3 million acres. There's a tremendous opportunity if we choose as a group to lease portions of those, to take that money to upgrade our parks, to use the money to offset some of the problems we're having with our current deficit, and at the same time, be contributors of a solution to the problems of energy in this country. The real issue that was pointed out by T. Boone Pickens is not the fact that we don't have enough liquids. It's not the fact we don't have enough solids. It's not the fact that we don't have enough solids or gases. Our weakness is in liquids, and that's a fact. The study indicates that one of the big winners in this stakeholder group could very well be our transportation network. The natural gas that could be produced on our state lands or within the state can be used to augment fuel that's used by school buses, taxis, state vehicles. These are things that can be done if, in fact, we decide to do it. What new technology do we need? We need no new technology. This is not pie in the sky. So, ladies and gentlemen, I really appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I certainly hope that you folks will take the time to read through our report. It's something that we spent better part of a year working at, and we hope that you'll find it easy reading. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doctor. The important thing, and Ray kind of touched on this, we do not view this as a Republican or a Democratic issue. This is a Pennsylvania issue. Obviously, with us not being in session today, I don't want to give the impression that Tim and I are the caucus by ourselves. We're joined today by Scott Hutchison, who's the Republican chairman of the Environmental Resources and Energy Committee in the House, as well as Representative Will Tallman, Representative Dan Miles in the crowd today as well. But we are 60 strong, 60 members from the House, Republican, Democrat alike. And what's unique is it's not all people like Tim who have the wells already going on in his district. I, at this point, only have a couple in my district. There are people from the Philadelphia region that have joined our caucus, and they have no natural gas in their districts at all. This is an issue that affects an industry in Pennsylvania that has the ability, like we've said and like the study shows, to change what we are in Pennsylvania. We can become the leader in natural gas production, and that's what we're going to do. So at this point, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. We have some time for questions. Dr. Watson is an incredible resource, so if we have some questions, we'd be happy to take them at this point.
Your chart here shows Marcellus wells in about 21, 22 counties as of March. Do you know when the other, but there's more counties in the formation. Do you know when it's going to start spreading to these other counties?
Ray, probably be the best one.
That's a really good question. However, it's really difficult to answer. One of the things that the industry is confounded by is the physical size of the Marcellus play. It is so huge, it's going to take a lot of resources and a lot of time to keep stepping out to the different areas to do test wells and delineation and determine what areas can become commercial development areas. We believe there's something like 60 million acres throughout the trend that could be potential. And as time goes on, and like Dr. Watson said, I'll retract earlier statements. I agree with him. It probably is a 100-year play. And in, between now and 100 years from now, we'll probably delineate a lot of those areas. And I don't want to give you the impression it will all work either. There will be some areas better than others. But the thing that our industry is pretty good at is determining where those areas are fairly quickly. So I think in the next 3 or 4 years, you'll see where most of the counties have had some activity.
It says here that by 2010, you expect this industry to generate $800 million in state and local tax revenue. Now, that is without an extraction tax.
Right.
What kind of taxes are we talking about? Like income taxes from the new workers or something?
A combination, Tom. There's going to be sales tax on materials bought and purchased to set up each of the sites. There's obviously the wage taxes that folks are going to be paying. And as I said earlier, too, the fallout jobs will also have that same wage thing attached to it, as well as materials purchased to do that. You know, one of the unique things and one of the arguments I've tried to make on this whole issue of the severance tax is, Pennsylvania by no means is flat as a pancake, as things are down in Texas and Oklahoma, where some of these other places are being taken care of. And so it takes a little bit more time, a little bit more effort, and a little bit more money to establish and develop these well sites, because oftentimes they're coming in on a 45-degree angle, and to level that area off so they can do it, you're spending time with heavy equipment operators, which obviously put good income jobs out there. The materials and the aggregate they need to make the roadways in, and the stone and that's necessary to get these places ready. And then on the backside, as it was discussed and maybe in the study, is that we also have the issue of dealing with the water on the backside as far as cleaning it. In Texas and some of these other areas, they just put it right back into the ground, and there's no real cost associated to that. So there's also money spent on treating the water, with another, again, other companies that are involved with taking care of that. So, you know, where they may be able to, and I don't want to give out the numbers, Ray's probably better at this, but on a good guess, we're probably spending, you know, or they are spending probably a couple million dollars more to $3 million more per well site as they develop them because of the front-end work that needs to be done and the back-end work on treating the water after they finish that site and get ready to turn it over.
Another reason why you say we don't need this extraction tax on top
of it. Sure, because there's a lot more money being generated through sales tax and through wage tax on the work being done to create each site.
Another comment concerning the revenue coming directly to the state, that does not include the royalties that would be payable to the state on state land. That's exactly, well, there's two elements to that. Number one, if Range would, for example, wish to drill on state acreage, it is put up for public bid. They would pay a bonus, and the last round of bonuses amounted to somewhere between $170 and $190 million. But that is up front before anything is done. Then secondly, the Commonwealth realizes royalties, and those royalties have been amounting to approximately 15 cents on the dollar. And that 15 cents is not reflected in that report. So that those royalties, which we're talking about, which could be very, very significant given the acreage position of the Commonwealth, is not included there.
So I don't understand what a royalty is.
Well, the concept of the royalty goes back to Spain when the conquistadors came to the United States and were or to the this hemisphere with the idea as privateers. And they would get 8 bars of gold from the Mayans, and what they would pay to the royals was called the royalty. And that's essentially what we're talking about here. In order to be able, because of the fact that the Commonwealth owns the mineral rights to these lands, for Range or any other company to develop them, they pay a percentage, which is, it varies depending on the negotiated contract, they pay a percentage of their wellhead revenue then to the Commonwealth.
How does the volatility of gas prices play into these projections for the economic impact? There's been a lot of concern about the low gas prices right now and some companies that are posting losses at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in a situation where, what, a year and a half ago it was at $14. Today we're under $4. But we're lucky in Pennsylvania to have these companies still looking at us. Because with the prices where they are, it really doesn't make them want to run and jump as fast as they did at $14. But what we can't do, because of the volatility of the prices, we can't really afford to put a tax on top of that. Because what that will do, without a doubt, is stymie the industry. Now, I hear comments from people all the time saying, well, they're going to come. We have so much of it. They're going to come eventually. They may 20, 30 years from now. There's only so many rigs and so many drills to be spread out throughout the United States. We want them all coming to Pennsylvania. And a tax right now would be the worst thing that we could possibly do.
Well, are these projections based on what gas prices are now, or are they based on what we're expecting gas prices to rise back up to?
Yes. That's exactly correct. I mean, we're basing them on the current prices, and we're also projecting them. And to make a comment on that, one of the things I track is what is called the API rig count. And if you look at the United States of America as a whole, you'll find that the rig count is dropped. One place that it has not dropped is Pennsylvania. There are many, many companies moving into Pennsylvania for a variety of reasons. Number one is the fact that the tax climate appears to be positive from their perspective. Number two, the Marcellus is super duper. It appears to have a lot of potential for these companies to make gas. And thirdly, you have a proximity to the Northeast. In many respects, Pennsylvania is sort of like Israel in the Middle East. We're right there in the middle. That's why they call us the Keystone State. And natural gas that's produced here can be distributed throughout the Northeast. And because of its proximity relative to, say, the Gulf of Mexico or Wyoming, what we have is we have a slight bump due to our location. And that bump may amount to 40 or 50 cents per unit of gas.
So the companies are willing to pay lease fees to the owner of the land. and they're willing to pay royalties to the state, but they don't want to pay this extraction tax. Is that it?
I mean, that's essentially the way it works, yeah.
So when the governor comes to you and says, hey, I got, you know, all these programs cut, I really need this natural gas extraction tax money, you're going to say, can't help you go.
Well, we have two problems with that. One, we don't believe the numbers that he's projecting of how much we would collect is accurate, because we don't believe we'd get the growth that he anticipates if we... Right. I believe that's the number he's using. Now, what we have offered are some alternatives, and Representative Dave Reed out of Indiana has a proposal of his own. He couldn't be here today because we're not in session, but that does exactly what Dr. Watson had suggested. Correct. And based on the numbers from the DCNR Secretary in appropriations hearings this year, we have almost 600,000 acres ready to go that the companies like Range would be interested in leasing. And if we do that in year one, just off of the upfront payment, you're looking at around $200 million. And then as the royalties start to kick in, that number grows exponentially. And obviously, Representative Reed's not here to go over his plan, but it's an alternative to what the governor's proposing. We think, based on the study that Dr. Watson put out, this is a good direction for us to go.
Tom, and the other thing, as I said earlier, is that there's all this other revenue we're receiving on top of what anybody anticipated because of the cost of developing the well. So that may exceed whatever a severance could have done just by the development money that we're getting from setting up each of these well areas. Yes.
There's been a lot of focus on the severance tax. Is there anything else the state should be doing to encourage or not doing to encourage that these projections come true?
Keep leasing the land and getting royalties. Anyone else?
Let me say a couple of comments. Number one, Pennsylvania is an extremely high-cost environment to drill gas wells in. A gas well in Pennsylvania costs substantially more than the same exact well in Texas. A lot of those reasons are what Tim alluded to earlier. You know, one being that it's not flat. Two, we've got some extra things ways that we need to handle the water and so forth and so on. There are a lot of regulatory issues. There are a lot of legislative issues that we still are trying to work through because this new horizontal development is new to Pennsylvania. And we're working with the governor's office, we're working with all four caucuses in the legislature, and we're trying to put together an effort to clean up some of those issues, which basically are just, you know, basically from an environmental standpoint, from an industry standpoint, from the local standpoint. For instance, we would like to be able to drill multiple wells from a single location. It's less environmental footprint. It's cheaper for us to do it that way. There's a lot of efficiencies. And there's some regulations and legislation in effect right now that basically prevents or causes us a lot of extra expense to do that. So we're working with the legislature, all four caucuses. It's not a political issue one way or the other. Working with the governor's office, we're working with the DEP. The DEP's already made great strides in working with us and working with them, because this is proven technology in a lot of other states. There's literally tens of thousands of wells like these that have been done in Oklahoma and Texas and Arkansas. And so essentially we're trying to take all of that knowledge and information and reshape the future and the way the regulatory works, because we believe there can be a proper balance here. This is state-of-the-art stuff. It's proven. You know, we're not trying to develop new technology. We're not looking for subsidies. You know, we would just like to go forward. And then probably another important point to point out, every little piece of money that you carve off of the top of our industry is less money that we put back in the ground drilling. And that's the biggest impact of a severance tax, is all of a sudden there's another amount of money that I've got to go to the board of directors and say, okay, now we have this much less cash flow to invest next year, which means less wells drilled, less jobs created, less economic impact. And so therefore, as this report says, from a scientific basis, if you put a West Virginia style severance tax on us, it will create a serious deficit. I mean, it'll create less overall money to the state when you roll it all together. So Dr. Watson, you want to add anything to that?
Other than the fact that I agree, if you look If you look at the impact that we determined in our study, the impact of the severance tax as proposed by, and I shouldn't say it was proposed, it was posited, I believe is a better term for it, by our governor, it would reduce activity by 30%, by a third. And certainly that is something that is not what you really want to do if you're trying to attract new businesses to the Commonwealth. As Ray and I were talking about earlier today, there are some major, major, major international companies looking at moving into Pennsylvania that have not considered Pennsylvania to be a reasonable site for their investment dollars, and probably since the time of Colonel Drake. So the issue is these taxes, and I understand the needs of the Commonwealth, but if you consider the tax dollars that will be lost because of the severance tax, it doesn't make sense to impose it. If you consider, however, if there is a deficit that needs to be addressed, then certainly you have several hundred thousand acres of land that are ready to be leased, that in fact could be leased, and the bonuses themselves could be realized in the next calendar year. And those, if you think about that, the last lease sale generated between $170 and $190 million. So certainly this next lease sale, if you take all 600,000 acres, if you take a lowball number, which would be somewhere around $1,000 to $2,000, you can do the math to indicate how much money would be generated up front, time zero, as we say in economics, before anything else happens. And then subsequently, as was indicated, what we'll be looking at then, of course, is royalties, which will grow as production grows. The thing that's kind of interesting is that the perception that we have in the Commonwealth is we've never had an oil and gas industry here. People are surprised. Well, the numbers that we're showing here in terms of production only are from the Marcellus Shale. Only from the Marcellus Shale. And certainly that doesn't include the thousands of shallow wells that are drilled in places like Indiana County or Venango County or Warren County. Those also add to the pie in terms of dollars coming into the Commonwealth. If you look at the statistics of this, in 2009, it's predicted that Pennsylvania, if in fact we continue with the same rate that we predict in our studies, that we will, in terms of footage drilled, be in the top six of the United States of America. So it's an amazing, amazing opportunity for our Commonwealth.
The other thing, too, that often gets lost in this conversation is, based on the economic policies of the administration over the last 7 years, if this was any other industry other than the natural gas industry, what would the governor be willing to do to attract 100,000 jobs to Pennsylvania? That's the issue that we struggle with. If it was any other industry, we wouldn't even be having the conversation about a tax. What's your...
Who paid for the study? Who paid for it?
The Marcellus Shale Committee.
That's the industry committee.
Right.
May I make a comment about that? Dr. Considine and myself, who authored this study, when we went into this study, it was with no preconceived notions of what was going to happen. And the industry group came to us as because of the fact that we are disinterested. I mean, certainly I have an interest because of the fact that I'm a Pennsylvanian. But the whole point is we did not come up with a preconceived notion of how this was going to look. And the results that you're seeing there in our study are based on proven technical and scientific approaches to the analysis of economic data. So certainly you can question who funded this, but that's not the issue. The issue is it is an impartial study undertaken by two nerds from Penn State University. Thank you.
Okay, obviously there's more to come as this moves forward. Again, we thank you for coming, and there's still more copies in the back if you need them. Thank you.